Yeah, there's going to be lots of paperback writers and hard book authors, publishers, all under the white tents in Courthouse Square, downtown Santa Rosa. Yes, it's that time of year again on September 24th. It's the 12th annual Sonoma County Book Festival. And to celebrate that event and to prepare you for that event, we have a bunch of good people in the studio today. We have author of the Judy Moody books, Megan McDonald. We have author and publisher and artist, Patrick Fanning. We have columnist and KRCB essayist and one of the organizers of the book festival, our own Susan Swartz, all in conversation today with Rosemary Manchester. I'm Suzanne Lang. This is our book festival show. It's KRCB. It's a novel idea.
Good evening and welcome to A Novel Idea. This is Rosemary Manchester, your host, and it's book festival time again. How quickly the months pass. This is the 12th annual Sonoma County Book Festival, and every year seems to surpass the one before, and this one is really going to be something else. On Saturday, September 24th, from 10 to 4, mark your calendars. The festival will be on Courthouse Square in downtown Santa Rosa all day. And you know, the festival is free. So let me welcome my guest to the studio. Susan Swartz is here. We're all familiar with Susan. On Friday morning, I look forward to her column, Another Voice. Susan, you know, I think of you as not only a columnist, but an essayist. Because when I listen to you, I think, I believe I just heard an exquisite essay.
Well, thank you very much, Rosemary. Well, you know, when I was at the Press Democrat for 1,000 years, I was a columnist and a newspaper columnist. And then when I kind of played around with it for radio, I think it did become more essay-like. And now I'm in the blogging world and doing radio and still doing some other writing. And my columns run here and there. But yeah, I like the idea of being an essay, so thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And you have several books to your credit. You have any more coming on that we should know about?
Well, let's see. I don't really have. I'm in a writing group, which is really fun, and in the West County, and all of us have written before and published before, and so we get together every couple of weeks and you know, read for each other. And I've got a collection of pieces that I call Life After Newspapers, and because I think it, you know, it really resonates with my generation, a lot of our generations, and people who grew up with newspapers, and of course that was my whole career. So it's like, what's happened now to newspapers, and what's happened to people who are getting past that age of when you're fully involved in a career? So that's kind of what I'm working on.
That sounds like a very good lead-in for me to introduce Patrick Fanning, author and publisher, and I just found out also artist, who's going to be leading a panel on the future of books. And Patrick, you see a very positive future for the printed word.
Well, I do. I don't think all the words will be printed, but I think there is a positive future ahead. People have things to say, and other people want to listen. I'm very positive and hopeful and as engaged in publishing as I ever was.
Well, that's good news to all of us who love books. And then Megan McDonald, the author of books for children, young people, and adults like them very much, too.
I hope so.
And your character, one of your characters, your protagonist, Judy Moody, is familiar to people everywhere. And she's going to be appearing. Oh, she's already appearing on the screen. The movie's already out?
Yeah, it came out this past summer.
That must have been so exciting for you.
Very, very fun time for me.
Was there a premiere and all that?
Yeah. The whole works in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
Yep.
Oh, what a very rewarding experience. I mean, you worked so very hard on your craft, and you're so talented that it makes everybody happy to see your character on the screen. Okay. I want to encourage our listeners to consult the website for the Sonoma County Book Festival. The website has information on almost everything that's going to happen that day, the authors, the venues, the location. There's a lot of new programming this year, especially for children. And during the second half of our show, we're going to be focusing on the children's programs, and we'll hear more from Megan then. But Megan, speak up anytime, because
okay,
I know that you'll have things to say about the festival in general. And, of course, the two of you as well. It's a conversation, not a monologue.
Right.
Okay. It's the 12th Annual Book Festival. Susan, you've been involved for many...
Well, I've been involved as an author, and then I've also been one of the introducers for other authors. And mm-hmm. then 3 years ago, when I left the Press Democrat, one of my friends, Maureen Jennings, who was running the book festival at one of those years, I think it might have even been that year, said, "Wouldn't you love to be on the book festival committee?" And I said, "Okay, how many meetings do I have to go to?" As I was really sick of meetings after doing so many at the mm-hmm. newspaper. And so I got involved on the authors committee, and that's really a fun place to be. Although every year about this time I'm thinking, oh, never again. But what we do is a number of us get together and start working at the beginning of the year and thinking who's on our wish list and who can we get. And then we start querying various authors, and we try to stay in the Bay Area, which is a very large area, of course. And we have one person coming this year, I know, who's a mystery writer, what's her name, Morgenstein, and Linda Morgenstein, and she has written Harpy's Feast. Now, she lives in Minnesota, but she studied here at Sonoma State, and her I believe her hero or heroine is a Sonoma County person. So that, you know, that brought her in. And, you know, and if we can get some real hot shots from other parts of the country who are dying to come to Sonoma County, we probably would let them in. But that's how I got involved. Is, you know, I got encouraged to come in by a friend. And so that's the part that I do. So I know about authors. I don't know a whole lot about all the other things, except mm-hmm. I know it's very much bigger this year. We're having four venues. Normally, the authors are at the library, forum room, and one other place in the square. Mm-hmm. And this year, we are also taking over La Rosa, which used to be the Cantina restaurant. And so there's going to have some. Our panels are going to be there. And then we've got a corner of Corix that we're going to be putting some authors in, starting in the morning with Gayla Barron's history panel. That's a standard at the book festival.
That's right. And Mary's Pizza Shack.
Mary's Pizza Shack.
Party
yes,
room.
Thank you so much for reminding me of that.
Right.
Now, that's the YA, the young adults are going to be there.
Yes.
And so that... And then we've got two different bookstores who are providing the books. So they're going to have Copperfields will be selling books and having the signers, having the authors sign. And then Reader's Books from Sonoma will be there as well. Because, of mm-hmm. course, we always work with our independent bookstores.
Absolutely.
Because they work so well with authors.
That's right. And I heard a rumor that the... merchants around the square are having a sidewalk sale.
Exactly.
Wouldn't that be fun?
This is the genius of Melissa Kelly. Melissa Kelly. Her second year as the coordinator, director, guru of the book festival. And she decided that she wanted to make it more of a community thing and involve the merchants. And they're all for it. And she actually, there's always a part of the streets are closed down right around on Mendocino in front of the Courthouse Square. But this year she's got part of 4th Street closed down. So she obviously knows how to work with the city. Yeah. And this is a good thing. So it'll really feel, I think, even more like a festival than it has even mm-hmm. in years past.
Mm-hmm. And another genius thing that Melissa arranged. Several times at the book festival, it's been a very hot day, and people have said to me, "Oh, I came to the book festival, it was so hot, I don't know if I'll come again." So serious readers would never say such a thing.
Used to separate.
Serious readers
bring their own fan, right?
That's Right. But Melissa has arranged these other venues, which are, of course, air-conditioned, so that if it's too warm on the square, you can pop into La Rosa or Corix or Mary's Pizza Shack Party Room or the Public Library Forum Room. So we hope everyone will be comfortable. We really try.
It is always hot. I mean, of course, if it rained, we'd really be out of luck. But so we don't want that to happen. And there will be more water available. I remember last year, one of the panels outside, I think it was a panel we had on food and wine writing, and they were practically dropping. And because there wasn't, somebody had forgotten to get them the water, or maybe they had water, but the audience didn't. But you're right, Megan. Readers, you know, they'll stick around. They'll come, and they'll hang in there with you. But it's nice if you know they don't start fainting in front of us.
There is a lot of shade on the square, and the children's corner is generally over there under that big tree. Mm-hmm. And I find it quite comfortable. But then I love the event. This is the first year that I'm going without any assignments. I've been on the committee, I think, for 10 years, and on the authors committee for a number of years, and I'm so happy to hand that off to Susan and her cohorts. So I'm going to go and just enjoy myself, which is...
Well, you better not let Melissa know that, because you will be snagged as soon as you walk in.
Wear sunglasses, go incognito.
That's right. Don't tell Melissa. When you come to the book festival, I know that many of you have been there for years and years, and you don't have to... may instruct you on this, but the first thing I do is go to the information booth and pick up a schedule and a map, which you can also print off the website and study your schedule beforehand, because you can see with all these venues and all these wonderful writers, you're going to have to make some choices. And some of the choices are really tough because you want to be two places at once. And they may not be close enough together that you can run back and forth. So I'm sorry that we can't offer everything to everybody. You got to choose. But pick up your information there at the information booth and then set out and get going. And you'll find not only books. I mean, there of course there are books for sale. New books, used books. Many of the authors take a booth to promote their own books. And it's such a treat to talk to the person who's written the book. And, of course, there are books for sale. And... what else can
the library say? Has a very popular station where they sell used books.
Yes.
I believe they're all used books.
Yes.
And they that's fun because they're staffed by, you know, that place is staffed by volunteers for the library, and so they're very knowledgeable about books too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Patrick Fanning, will you tell us a bit about tell us anything you wanted to about the panel which you're leading, which is on the business of books. Is that correct?
That's right. It'll be on the business of books, and it's, I believe, at Corix late in the afternoon, but I would definitely check the schedule.
No, it's not.
No, I'm sorry. Well, these things are subject to change.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning
okay,
at La Rosa.
See,
check
it's
the website.
Changed already. Right. At any rate, we're going to talk with myself and my business partner, Matthew McKay, and someone from Copperfields will be there to represent the retail bookstore angle, someone from HarperCollins in San Francisco, and someone from O'Reilly Media.
Right.
So we're going to talk about a lot of things, but the topics that have floated to the top at this point is the whole question of the content migrating from printed books to the web in one form or another. That's personally very interesting to me because my company, New Harbinger Publications, does a lot of self-help psychology, and we're seeing that just like medical reference became more of a web-based industry about 10 years ago, a lot of self-help and psychology materials are migrating to the web. So we'll talk a lot about that. We're also going to talk about the impact of social media and blogs and so on fiction buying these days, because the day of the influential newspaper book reviewer is almost gone, and people are finding out what to read from Facebook or Twitter or someone's blog. Mm-hmm. And it's changed the whole whole publicist's job of how do you get out the word about an exciting new novel. Another thing we're going to talk about is just the question of changing distribution channels, of the bricks and mortar stores like Borders closing down, of Amazon.com, just about now passing up the 50% mark in terms of, for instance, in my company, Amazon.com sales represent 52% of all our sales.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it's topping 50% in a lot of publishing companies these days.
Mm-hmm. Does that change the marketing of books?
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
So that the marketing is on the same medium that the books are.
Exactly. Yeah. People are going to be buying, if they're going to be buying their books online from Barnes mm-hmm. & Noble or Amazon.com or whoever, then they have to be informed about the books online as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the name of your press, the new Harbinger Publications. Yeah. Harbinger is one of my favorite words. It carries so much with it. And
it was almost a mistake, but
really.
Well, I thought Harbinger Press sounded very swanky when we opened the company in 1979, and we operated as that for a few years, and then it turned out that there was an old imprint of Harcourt Brace Jovanovich, which used the same term, and they politely requested that we not do it because bookstores and libraries are getting confused. So we put the new on the front of it and called it New Harbinger Publications.
And you have a number of publications yourself. You've written a number of books.
Right. I've done a lot of self-help. The last one I did was this last February. We put out a book called Mind and Emotions,
yes.
which is a universal protocol for the treatment of mood disorders. Not very interesting unless you're plagued with anxiety or depression, and then it's really
all
interesting.
Of America.
Hello, America.
Right.
And most writers.
and is that on in paper as well as on the web?
That's in paperback.
It's
a paperback workbook mm-hmm. kind of format.
Oh.
And we've, over the years, kind of specialized in self-help workbooks, and uh-huh. this is just the latest one. A few years ago, I published something called Not Dead Yet, which was a retirement book. And that was my straying a little bit from nonfiction into memoir, but I learned my lesson. I'm going back to nonfiction.
Is
and you're no longer retired either.
That's right. No, I've gone back to work. So.
Is your book in print?
Well, it's still in print.
Available,
well,
I should say.
Available.
I guess we don't
sure.
say in print anymore. We just say,
Well, it's funny. A lot of old books that I thought were gone forever have come back in the form of e-books and instant mm-hmm. print. So that's a whole nother topic.
The resurrection of the book.
The resurrection mm-hmm. of the out-of-print book.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so hopeful.
It is.
Yeah, because is it the print-on-demand thing so that they don't have to have a big inventory?
Yes, basically it is. And mm-hmm. and the fact that if you have a digital file that you used in the 80s to typeset a book, you can these days run it through a translation program and turn it into a sort of an e-book.
Amazing.
A digital version, and you can put it out as a Kindle edition, for mm-hmm. instance.
Yes. You're listening to A Novel Idea. This is Rosemary Manchester, your host, and you're listening to Patrick Fanning, the co-founder of New Harbinger Publications, and he will be at the Book Festival on Courthouse Square on Saturday, September 24th, and he will be part of a panel of people talking about the future of books and the printed word. I noticed that on your panel you have a representative of Harper One Publications. He has a pretty impressive list of authors that that he's published.
Yes, I think it's going to be very interesting to find out what he thinks about the future in regards to the A-book or the bestseller type publication. There's a whole different way of, mm-hmm. of launching those kind of books now.
Yes, and that's Mark Tauber, and then Ellen Skaggerberg from Copperfields, you mentioned. Mary Rotman, publicist at O'Reilly Media, our well-known local media publications, and then Matthew McKay, an author. And is he also with New Harbinger?
Yes, Matt is my best friend and business partner, I roped him in to fill out the panel a little bit.
Well, that sounds like a most interesting panel, Patrick, and I'm looking forward to hearing about it. It sounds so hopeful.
Well, thanks. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question? Well, all of us. Do you use a Kindle?
Yes, I have a Kindle, and I read about half the time on the Kindle. Mm-hmm. I just finished a big Dickens novel, for instance. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. I didn't have to prop it up in bed and so on. So I'm quite sold on it.
So there's some books you would read on a Kindle and some you would... I mean, would you go entirely to the Kindle if you...
Well, a lot of things I want to read aren't quite available on the Kindle yet.
If
something was lavishly illustrated, I wouldn't choose to go on the Kindle. But for most things, yeah, I would.
How about you, Megan? Do you use a Kindle?
I'm still old-fashioned, I guess.
Me too.
I guess I really love the holding, the tactile holding of the book. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I love when it has the deckled edges and smelling the pages. Although I will say I have an iPad. And what I love it for is... I can, for free, download samples of books and read about 30 pages, and then it tells me, then I'm like, do I want to read this book? I read the sample, and then I run to Copperfields and buy it if I choose to.
That's good.
Yeah, so I have used it for that, and I do enjoy that you can change the font, and when your eyes are tired, make it larger and that sort of thing. But I still feel like I want to, I haven't quite given up on holding the book.
Well, but I don't see why we can't have... You know, use it all.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, I wrote a piece that I do this commentary on Friday mornings called Another Voice, and the one that I'm doing for this Friday, which is in advance of the book festival. I interviewed a few of the authors who are going to be at the book festival to see what they do for their own personal reading. And a couple of them had, like Andrew Lamb, who has New America Media, and he's an NPR commentator, and he's going to be at the book festival. And he said that he no longer reads newspapers, which, you know, ripped my heart in half, but because he said it's just kind of a dated medium. And when he wants to get news, he'll just go to Google News. He wants to be updated all the time. But when he reads a book, he wants the book, mm-hmm. just like you're saying, mm-hmm. Megan. He wants to hold it. Mm-hmm. He wants to smell it, you know, and he wants to go to bookstores and buy them there. And Carolyn Cook, who is going to be at the book festival as well, she wrote her latest book is called Daughters of the Revolution. And she said that she's entirely a book person. And she, part of the thrill of reading for her is finding these great bookstores and then going into a bookstore you've never been into and finding a book that you never knew you even wanted, mm-hmm. and then having that whole serendipitous thing happen, you know, and then knowing where she bought the book and then knowing where she was when she read the book and mm-hmm. then having all the coffee stains in the book.
Yeah.
And I'm that way too. I mean, mm-hmm. I like to write notes in the margins and all of that. I mean, I like to make a book my own, so I'm really mm-hmm. resisting. But if I traveled a lot, I can see that. I mean,
it's
the thing
so
for traveling,
great
it must
for
be
travel.
Great thing.
I mean, I just finished reading Jonathan Franzen's 700-page book, and I kept thinking, if I didn't have to lug this with me, that would be a good thing.
So
I can see where Dickens would be very inviting on the Kindle.
Yeah. War and Peace.
Yeah. Right. Well, I just got back from 3 weeks in Europe, and I was reading Bleak House on my Kindle on the train.
Perfect. Yeah.
And I didn't have to lug the 1,000-page book along.
Yeah.
So, and from a publisher's point of view, there's a save a tree aspect
there
to this.
Is.
Because so often we publish a book that we have high hopes for. We put out 4,000 copies in the world. And in the course of 3 years, 1,000 of them sell. And then we send the other 3,000 to the pulp mill.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good argument.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, what about going into bookstores? And, you know, I think I don't have a Kindle, so I don't know, but it seems to me that you don't have that. I mean, you could still go into bookstores, I guess, and discover something that you mm-hmm. didn't know you ever wanted. But, I mean, what I love about finding books are looking at the cover. And you don't have mm-hmm. covers, do you?
Well, when you're browsing at Amazon.com with the mm-hmm. Kindle, yeah, you're looking at the cover.
Right. Oh.
at least a small. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not a bookstore. It isn't.
Yeah.
Right. No, I go into bookstores just as often as I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, that's a whole different activity.
Yeah.
Right. What's
an event?
People do? You go to a bookstore. Susan, I wonder if you would, since you're on the author's committee, if you'd mention a few of the other writers who will be present mm-hmm. at the book festival.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Well, of course, as I said, Gayla Baron's going to have her ever-popular history panel, and she's got three or four people from the area who have written about, there's one who's written about Petaluma, one about mm-hmm. Healdsburg, there's a West County person, and I can't think of the names right now, mm-hmm. but, and Gay's husband, John, is writing a book about the West County, and he will be on it, too. So mm-hmm. she'll be there, and Carolyn Cook, as I mentioned, now she, I don't know, I know that she lived for a time in the North Bay area, mm-hmm. and I thought in Mendocino County. Mm-hmm. She's written this book called The Daughters of the Revolution, and she'll be there, and there's actually a profile in the Press Democrat on her mm-hmm. this upcoming Sunday.
Oh.
Belva Davis,
oh,
who
Belva
you all
Davis.
Know,
yes.
anyone who's lived in the Bay Area for any time and has watched Bay Area television know Belva's work, and she's just been around for so long, and she's so amazing. She has written a book called Never in My Wildest Dreams, A Black Woman's Life in Journalism. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty fascinating book of, you know, just that whole period. She's not, I mean, she's looks at journalism from so many ways. Mm-hmm. The Bay Area has a different take on journalism, a different approach to journalism. Certainly African-American experience and getting just their foot in the door in the media, in newspapers. And then all the various things that she's covered, all the stories mm-hmm. that have happened in our time, you know, from Jim Jones to, mm-hmm. you know, all the hippies mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. all the drug years and mm-hmm. I mean, just think of Moscone's death, all of those major, major stories.
And she has a co-author.
She does have a co-author.
That's so interesting.
Whose name is Vicki Haddock. Mm-hmm. And she's worked at, I think, at the Examiner and the Chronicle and lives in Petaluma now. And she and Belva wrote this book together. And they will be in conversation together. Mm. They'll be at the forum room in the morning, 12:45, actually. What I think is going to be interesting to hear them talk is how you collaborate on a book.
Yes, I'm looking
two
forward
journalists.
To that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that would be really interesting. It's amazing it ever got published.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that'll be real fascinating.
That's right. And then I noticed that Ann Packer is coming.
Ann Packer, who yes. was at the book festival a few years ago when she had her first book out, which was what was
they
that?
They Died from Clausen's Pier.
Thank you.
Yes.
And then she's got a new book out, and she's going to be here. And she'll be at the library in the forum yeah. room there. Carol Edgarian, whose book I haven't read, but I know that several people in our area who are in a book club have been reading her book. And it's called Three Stages of Amazement. And she's won a whole bunch of awards.
Yeah.
And I think she'll be a big mm-hmm. draw. We've got some stars mm-hmm. and we've got some rising stars. That's what I like about this area. First of all, I think that we are rich with creative people and certainly lots and lots of writers, and then we draw on the whole Bay Area. Yeah. So you get you're always encouraged, I think, by just this is a very rich, fertile area for mm-hmm. Writers. And
at this point, I always wish we could name them all and talk about all of them. But Maxine
Hong Kingston. She's been here before too, and she's great. She'll be here. She's going to be in the La Rosa, the restaurant that used to be the Cantina, and she'll be there with her new book. And which is what is her new book? Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. I Love a Broad Margin to My Life, and she'll be there with some of the Vietnam vets. Not just Vietnam vets, but veterans mm-hmm. who are in her writing group.
Veterans mm-hmm. from many wars.
Right. And they're going to mm-hmm. be, some of them are going to be reading from their pieces as well.
It's a wonderful thing she does. It's a therapy through writing,
right.
But their writing is so, so wonderful to hear.
And then we're going to have a bunch of panels in addition to the one that Pat Fanning's on about the book business, which we have called Rumors of My Death Have Been Greatly Exaggerated. we have a panel that I helped put together called The Sky is High and So Am I. And that features Don Latton, who was a religious writer for the Quran for many years. And he wrote The Harvard Psychedelic Club about Timothy Leary, Ram Dass, and all of the experiments that started happening back there, which led to huge changes in many things, not just in recreational drug use, but certainly how people started thinking about everything from spirituality to the holistic sense of looking at healthcare. Andrew Weil was one of those people in the Harvard Psychedelic Club as well. He's going to be there with Stephen Jones, who has put together a collection of Burning Man stories. And we have a lot of burners in our area. Yeah. So fortunately, we didn't plan the book festival on that weekend. And so he'll be there, and then Jonah Raskin, who has been at the book festival before and is very well known in our area, he's got his new book out called Marijuana Land. Yes. Hence the title, The Sky is High and So Am I. We will not be serving anything special for that
special
panel.
Brownies?
and the moderator for that, who I think will be great fun, is Chris Corsi, who's a former colleague of mine at the Press Democrat, who did once interview Timothy Leary. So that will be a real fun panel as well.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to A Novel Idea. This is Rosemary Manchester, your host. My guests in the studio that you've been listening to are Susan Swartz, Megan McDonald, and Patrick Fanning. And we'll be right back.
Thanks so much, Rosemary Manchester. And we will be right back with A Novel Idea. You may have heard that we are not having a pledge drive.
This is Catherine Hastings, host of Word Temple on KRCB, and wow, I can't believe it. Here's Allen Ginsberg. Gee, Allen, you and I just spoke recently about how KRCB's like the caviar of radio stations and how KRCB is somehow a healthier choice for people. There's so much variety, all kinds of music from classical to roots. There's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, even poetry, Allen Ginsberg. What would you say to people if a lack of funding was to close down this delectable smorgasbord of one-of-a-kind programming?
Come on, pigs of Western civilization, eat more grease. Eat more marbled sirloin, more pork and gravy. Lard up the dressing. Fry chicken in boiling oil. Carry it dribbling to gray clime, snowed with salt. Little lambs covered with mint, roast in racks, surrounded by roast potatoes wet with butter sauce.
Good answer. Let's hope people call 584-2020 to support KRCB.
Thank you, Alan and Catherine. And you can always go online to www.krcb.org and make your donation there. We'll be back in just a moment with more of Megan McDonald, Patrick Fanning, Susan Swartz, and Rosemary Manchester talking about the 12th annual Sonoma County Book Festival. We'll be right back.
Conceiving a plot, it quickens, it thickens, you can't put it down now. It takes you, it shakes you, it makes you lose your thought. But you're caught in your own glory, you are believing your own stories, writing your own headlines, ignoring your own deadlines. But now you've got to write them all again.
You're listening to A Novel Idea on KRCB, listener-supported radio. Back to Rosemary.
Welcome back after that short break. We haven't talked much, we haven't talked at all about the children's programming, which is going to be absolutely stunning this year. There's a special place called the Peanuts Pavilion, in which children will have an opportunity to practice or learn and practice their skills in cartooning from well-known cartoonists. I think that's really attractive. I told Melissa we ought to have a booth where you could rent a kid, and so those of us whose children are grown would be able to take advantage of the children's programming. She said she'd think about that for another year. I think it'll disappear somewhere. But also, all day, there's going to be a treasure hunt involving families. It's based on a popular series by Elizabeth Singer Hunt, who will be present. The treasure hunt encourages children and their families to solve clues by visiting businesses along 4th and D Streets. I think it sounds marvelous. And then
really
Elizabeth Hunt will present prizes, which will be randomly drawn, so it's not that kind of a competition. But really some very clever programming for children and also for teenagers, for young adults. Well, I want to get to Megan McDonald. You've been at Book Festival before, Megan.
I have, and I've just been sitting here thinking, 12 years, my first year at the Book Fest. Well, I used to work for Sonoma County Library. So
yes.
My first year at the Book Fest, the children's programming was on the back patio of the library, and literally it was like, you know, 10 kids on little carpet squares and me. So it's so wonderful to see how this has grown.
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea, of course, is to grow young readers.
Yes.
I was reading some information about you on the net, and I noticed that one of the things that you're famous for saying was, before I was a writer, I was a reader.
And you
started very young.
Yeah, yes. Both of my parents were readers. My dad was a bridge builder, and he only had an eighth grade education. So he educated himself by reading, and we just had a house stuffed with books where the piles of books were always falling off the shelves. So I really attribute a lot of early reading to becoming a writer.
And you have 2 degrees in English, and then in is it English or in writing?
In English. In English,
yeah. And then in you're a librarian.
Library science, yeah.
It's a wonderful combination. Not many people have the whole thing like that.
Well, it's funny. I was just thinking, I was in library school in 1985, and the hottest topic was, is the book dead?
Oh. Really?
And in fact, it was the year that I went to library school in Pittsburgh, at the University of Pittsburgh, and it was the year that it became not just library science, but library and information technology. Mm. And so it was this huge, huge thing, kind of almost like when we were kids and they scared us with the metric system, that was going to take over the world. So it was a little bit frightening, like the book is going to disappear. What are they talking about? Yeah. And here we are 20-some years later, and it's here.
Yes.
What was going to kill it back then?
Well, same thing, just, you know, the idea of the internet coming and computers.
Technology.
And I was reading an article recently in the New York Times that talked about, it's no longer an issue even talking about kids and television. It's now, sometimes children are using 5 different electronic devices at once.
Wow.
So.
Good grief.
Yeah. So, and it's been really interesting with Judy Moody. A lot of people who come through line, you know, to meet me at a book signing have told me during the when there's a hurricane and the power has been out for 2 weeks or a week or whatever, guess what? They've rediscovered books and reading. They have a flashlight or a candle, and they read books again. They read together as a family. They play board games. So, not that I'm for hurricanes, but I am for reading. So,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. And your character Judy Moody is well known to us because you've had her featured in a number of books.
Yes, she's the main character in a whole series that I have.
Yes, she has her own series.
She has her own series, and I think kids especially like Judy because she's moody, so she's an every kid kind of person where not everything goes right for her, and certainly lots of obstacles are always thrown in her path, and she has a lot of ups and downs like every real kid.
So. And she's a bit of a rascal, isn't she?
Yes,
that appeals to me.
She's definitely an imp, and she has a little brother named Stink. He's kind of a pest, so she loves to play pranks on him and you know, figure out ways to really get his goat. So.
Mm-hmm. Were you pleased with the movie?
I was. I really, well, the whole experience was just so amazing. I worked on the script. And,
oh, you did?
My husband and I collaborated on pretty much the whole film. We went down to Hollywood when it was filming and spent 3 months on set every day. And so just the whole education, really, of learning and watching how a film is made and how it all comes together. Jordana Beatty is a little redhead from Australia who plays Judy Moody, and she was so wonderful. She just really, that was my biggest concern, is who will be Judy and will she overplay it? Because a character with moods, of course, there's a really fine line if you overdo that. And she just really, really got the character. She had been reading the books before she was even asked to read for the part. So she knew Judy Moody and, you know, then went on to read them several times. And she, I don't think she ever memorized a line. She said she just loved the story. So she kept reading the script and she knew everybody's lines. So when the adults would forget their lines, she would feed them their lines
on set.
I want to encourage people to go to your website, which is really a beautifully developed website.
Oh, good.
Do you want to give the directions to the website?
It's at meganmcdonald.net.
There you go.
And I'm so lucky that my nephew put it all together for me. He did put a trailer from the movie up on the front page, so it looks like you're sitting in the theater. So it was just a little indie film that was out this summer, and if you missed it, it'll be coming on DVD coming up in October, so you'll have another chance to see it then.
Yeah, that's anything else that you'd like to say about the festival or about the state of children's literature
Well, I think all of the things we've been talking about apply to children as well. You know, we're talking
Absolutely.
About all the electronic devices and certainly one of the things we touched on with Patrick that I'm hopeful about is the same thing, where I certainly have a garage full of books that are out of print, and it's hopeful thinking that some of the electronic ways, you know, developing an app that can now bring a book to kids on an iPad or something in full color is a way to get some of those books that, you know, back into the hands of kids. So that's exciting for me. And I think really any means, you know, whether it's an electronic means or holding a book, to me, that's the most important thing, is just encouraging kids to read. And I'm so lucky that Judy Moody and Stink have been characters that have really grabbed the imaginations of kids, because I have so many parents who write to me and say, I could not get my son to read, and he's in second grade, and we found Stink, and now we are off and running. So Stink has his own series now as well, that's really more for boys, because boys were all reading Judy Moody, but there was always that little bit of hesitation because there's a girl on the cover, and Stink was the secondary character, so all my boy readers said, when are you going to write about Stink? So there are a handful of Stink books as well, and I'm so pleased that boys are finding their way to
It must be so gratifying to you to hear from the children who read the books and the parents, and to have this, they're they're thrilled with the stories.
Oh, it's so amazing. I mean, I hear literally from kids all over the world.
Oh, do you?
I had a letter the other day from a kid in Gambia who said, oh, could you publish my cartoon? He said, Stink Moody has inspired me because there are some comics at the end of each chapter. And I had a letter from a girl the other day who read Judy Moody Saves the World, and it prompted her to start, I love this, she started a campaign to save the kangaroo rat.
Oh, and, wonderful.
And somehow she got all these kids in her class and everybody, and she raised thousands of dollars and then donated it to the museum or some such to save the kangaroo rat. So you never know where... how your books will inspire.
You send the book out there and you never know.
Yes, yes.
Those are wonderful stories. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing you at the book festival, and I know that you'll be very well received because everybody seems to know you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And to know your work.
Thank yes. you.
I wanted to ask Megan something. Yes. When you do readings either at the book festival or at the bookstores, do the kids ask you questions, or do they just want to hear you read to them?
Oh, they're usually dying to ask questions.
Okay.
So they usually come clutching their tattered copies of Judy Moody, and many of them have, you know, thought out what they want to ask. Of course, the second they get up to me, they freeze, and, you know, it's kind of overwhelming. So, but yeah, they really... There are kids out there who are more of Judy Moody experts than I am that will correct me if I say, you know, in such and such a book, Judy did this, and they'll be like, oh, no, that was in Judy Moody Gets Famous that happened.
Oh, I love you know? That. That's so they, cool.
Yeah, they really yeah. get into it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great. Yeah. You're listening to A Novel Idea. This is Rosemary Manchester, your host, and Megan McDonald is talking about her work and her character, Judy Moody. Poets out there and lovers of poetry are jumping up and down saying, talk about poetry. And I do this on, I swear, next year I will talk about poetry first. And you can all hold me to this, people out there. But some splendid poets are coming, of course. Al Young is going to be here this year. And
Jane Hirschfield.
Jane Hirschfield,
she's, of course, very well known, and she's been at the book festival before, too, and she'll be in the library forum room in the afternoon. But I'm kind of like you, Rosemary. I forget poets, even though I love poetry, but I always feel kind of insignificant, I guess, next to poets or something. They seem to be a lot more cerebral and talented than, you know, fiction and nonfiction writers, which is probably not true. But anyhow, I do have a list of people, and they, you know, so you mentioned Al Young, Christina Hutchins, Dave Cedar, Dean Rader, Gene Wagner, Catherine Streisick, Lee Slonimsky, Francisco Alarcon, Judy Halepsky, Sean Pittard. So there's a whole bunch of them, and they're going to be out on the main stage, and that's always fun because they're right in the middle of Courthouse Square, so you've got all the vendors, and you've got, you know, people just kind of wandering all over there, and then you're suddenly, you know, stopped by some poet, you know, booming voice coming out of the main stage. So definitely poets are always a huge part of the book festival.
And, you know, to hear poets read their own work, it's a wonderful opportunity. I mean, poetry on the page is one thing, but poetry in your ears, and then poetry in your ears by the poet, that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even though some of those names won't be, are not familiar, as familiar to us as some of the others, you know that every one of them is going to have some splendid, splendid poetry. So I urge people to make their way to the to where the poets are.
Main stage.
Main stage, where the poets are declaiming, because it's always a treat. Okay. We're going to have to wrap up in a minute. I'll give you all a chance to add anything that you thought of along the way that I didn't give you a chance to say about the book festival.
I just think, you know, it's going to be a very fun day. It is free. It's something for families to do. And it's amazing to me how downtown Santa Rosa transforms, you know, and it's really exciting. And you and everybody, all the authors are very approachable, and And so just come on down. And writers need readers, and readers need writers. So we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm. Megan, Patrick, anything you want to add?
Well, I think maybe I would just do a special invite to any aspiring authors who want to come down, because going to the book festival gives you a unique window on the world of publishing and the book business and the whole, the human side of who is a writer and who is a publisher and who is a poet. So come on down.
That's right. Megan?
It's so much fun to meet. When I was a kid, we didn't have authors come to our school or our local bookstore, so you couldn't really meet a writer in person. So I think it's a unique opportunity for kids to meet the authors of books they love. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's something about, it's almost like sitting here tonight in a room full of readers, but there's something about that festive atmosphere, and you think every person, every writer, every family, aspiring writer is here because of books.
I know. I'm always surprised when I'm, you know, I'm constantly talking about the book festival and surprised when people say to me, book festival? And every 12 years, there are people I know who read books who haven't yet been to the book festival. So if this is all new information to you who are listening, give it a try. Come on down to Courthouse Square in Santa Rosa, right downtown, to the book festival on Saturday, on September 24th, from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. It's free. It's a lovely way to spend a day. Bring the family. There's something for people of every age. And I encourage you, there will be writers there in the vendors' booths with their books, which they themselves have written and which they're offering for sale. Encourage those people. Stop by and talk to them. Buy their books. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity to talk to people who may be new in the business of writing. And we all know, as writers ourselves, that you need all the encouragement you can get. So it's a great day for writers and readers on Courthouse Square. All right, now we're going to wrap up this part of the program. You're listening to A Novel Idea. This is Rosemary Manchester, your host, and our guests this evening, Susan Swartz, Megan McDonald, and Patrick Fanning. And special thanks to Suzanne Lang, who produces the show. And now I'll turn it over to Suzanne.
Yeah, before we completely close out the show, we want to have this regular feature of another local author, Barbara Quick, who you may recall her most recent books, Vivaldi's Virgins and The Golden Web. And she is also going to be starting a writing group herself. And you can find out more about that. Her website is barbaraquick.com for all you aspiring writers out there. Susan, you mentioned your writing group before, and it seems like writing groups are really a big support for writers out there. But now let's listen to Barbara's book review.
The epic first novel of award-winning short story writer Julie Oringer deserves every word of praise it has been garnering. The Invisible Bridge is beautifully written and masterfully told. Yes, the book's author is yet another graduate of the Iowa Writers' School. How do they do it? Here's a 37-year-old who writes with the poise and gravitas of one of the greats from the 19th century. I didn't see one false step in this first novel. In fact, I paid very little attention to the craft of it, as I was so utterly caught up in the story. Set in Hungary and briefly but vividly in Paris, spanning the late 1930s through the end of World War II, The Invisible Bridge tells the tale of two very different families linked together by the intricate bonds of love and community. If Tolstoy had been Jewish, he might have written such a novel. The book's wonderfully sympathetic protagonist, Andras Levy, has only a short time to enjoy the good fortune that has landed him in an architectural scholarship in Paris after having been excluded by reason of the numerous clauses from completing his education in Hungary. Sundered from his loving parents and brothers, András finds bosom friends among the other Jewish students at the École Spéciale. He begins to get a sense of the scope of his talent and a taste for hard work. He falls in love with an ex-ballerina with a complicated past and a capacity to love as great as his. It is a testament to Oringer's skill as a storyteller that we are so comfortably lodged inside the mind and heart of András Levy that we only realize about halfway through that The Invisible Bridge is, in fact, a Holocaust novel. Julie Oringer has taken the nightmare inheritance of those of her relatives who survived the Holocaust and those who did not, and made a work of art that is a tribute both to her humanity and theirs. This is an author who knows in every cell, it would seem, that she owes her very existence in this world to the endurance that can be conferred upon us by love. This is Barbara Quick for A Novel Idea.
Thank you, Barbara Quick, but I think Barbara has a little bit more to say.
A lot can be packed into 1 minute. All the notes of Chopin's minute waltz can be sped up and contained within a mere 60 seconds. It is said that one's entire life can flash before one's eyes in the minute before death. I know from personal experience that a vacation's worth of replenishment and courage can be gleaned from a minute-long reprieve in between labor pains. In 1 minute, you can say, I do, I just did, and know that there will be two sets of footprints, yours and your beloved's, pressed into the wet sand of the rest of your life. In the space of 1 minute, you can realize that, yes, 99% of the world's craziness is completely out of your control, but we each have something like 40 million minutes allotted to us in our lives, and in each of those minutes, we have the power to change small things for the good. Supporting public radio is one small thing you can do to make the world a better place. Go to krcb.org and donate. It'll only take a minute.
And it only takes a minute. Thank you, Barbara Quick, who could pack more words into a minute than most people. And nice to listen to as well. Rosemary?
Yes, I have a little bit more to say, too.
You have a little bit more to say, too. Right. And what do we got coming up?
Our next novel idea on the 12th of October at the same time in the evening, I'm going to be talking to Joan Frank. A beloved local writer. She's beloved by both writers and readers, and she has been serving on the authors committee.
Yes, she's been tireless.
Yes. And I couldn't believe that I'd never invited her onto the program.
Yeah, she's great.
I thought, oh, for heaven's sake, she's right here. So she's going to be here in October to talk about her latest books and also about her, I mean, she has so many books. She's such a prolific writer and so talented, and a
book reviewer too. She does
right.
a lot of book reviews for the Cron, yes. and Chronicle, and other places too. Yeah,
and to have her in our community is such a treat. So you can look forward to hearing her. And let me remind you again about the website for the book festival, SoCoBookFest.org. Or if you forget that, just type in Sonoma County Book Festival, and this will come up. All right. And so we look forward to having you with us again next month for Joan Frank. And in the meantime, remember, there's no such thing as too many books.